today on Anchored in the Word.
Now, God will get the glory in that day because we'll get to see, I think, in that time how much God was involved in the process, how He kept us, how He brought things to bear in our lives to get us to go the way He wanted us to go, how He put pressure on us without violating our free will, but yet He, you know what I'm saying? We're going to see the greatness of God in ways that we can't even imagine. But know this, that your works are going to follow you. We're laboring now.
But I'm anchored deep in your clean love. I'm anchored deep in who you are. I'm anchored deep in holy word. I'm anchored deep in you, my Lord.
This is Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Coastlands in Eatontown, New Jersey, with our pastor and teacher, Bill Beckelman. Though we are not in the end times, as Pastor Bill describes in today's message, we are laboring hard in our present time. But there'll be a day when our labor will pay off. There will be a day when God will reveal to us how He sustained, surrounded, and protected us. On that day, all the glory will be given to God. At the close of Pastor Bill's message, I'll be sharing with you how you can get a copy of today's broadcast of Anchored in the Word. Subscribe to the podcast or simply get in touch with us. Now, here's Pastor Bill with his continuing study in the book of Revelation.
So it starts with bad news, and then 6:23 says, and the wages of sin is death. That's bad news. The wages of sin is death. Because you're a sinner, you're going to be separated from God for all eternity. But the second part of 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. It's a gift. Now, again, get them to read it, and then when they're finished, instead of you just telling them like I'm doing to you, what does that mean? What do you think that means? Let the Holy Spirit of God take the Word of God and let Him illuminate their hearts. You'd be amazed at the power of God exercised that way. And then Romans 10:9 says, those that call on the name of the Lord will be saved. What do you think that means? You know, ask them. What do you think that means? Let them read it. And if they get wrong, by the way, say something really strange, say, read it again. And I say that to say, let the Holy Spirit penetrate their hearts. And if they say it really something strange, it doesn't mean anything what it says, ask them to read it again until they get it right. That is trusting the Spirit of God and the Word of God, and not in your own words, okay? And then it says in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And you'll be amazed, by the way. The guy that I first heard this from, he goes, you know, sometimes I'll get to the second scripture, 6:23, where the wages of sin is death, and I'll say, what do you think that means? It means I got to receive Jesus Christ right now. No, I got two more verses to go yet. That's what he said. You'll be amazed at what the Word of God and the conviction of the Holy Spirit will do. And you don't have to get to the other two. You can say, I can pray with you right now to receive Jesus, you know. It's amazing. You'll be amazed at what God can do. But that's the gospel in a nutshell. The Romans road, 3:23, 6:23, 10:13, and then 10:9. You need to understand the gospel. And so the angels preaching the gospel there in the midst of all these people following the beast. Verse 7 says, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and springs of water. Now, verse 7, He's given instruction, but this is a lifestyle to be lived by us, by the believer. And He's telling them what they need to do as they come to Christ, but this idea of fearing the Lord and giving glory to Him, He's letting them know that judgment's coming. And then He's talking about acknowledging the Creator. This is so important in this last day. And one of the lies that's being believed today by a lot of people is that God didn't create the earth. I mean, you're a laughing stock in a lot of places, in the universities and where the intelligent people supposedly are hanging out. If you believe in he's one of those, he believes the earth was made in 6 days. And so much so, I think that some people that were willing to admit that God created the earth, they don't want to go the six-day thing. I'm going to stay away from that one, you know, because why? I mean, that's what it's pretty clear in the Bible. You know, if he told us he made 6 days, and the evening and the morning were one day. The evening and the morning were the second day. The evening and the morning were the third day. The evening and the morning were the... I mean, you have to really work hard to plug something else into that to make it seem longer than that. So we're in the camp. Yeah, I'm a six-dayer. That's right, I'm a literal six-dayer. If I seem stupid to you, you know, I'm sorry, but you know, eventually you will come around to my way of thinking. And the hope is that it's on this side of eternity. I mean, I'm not being arrogant. I'm just being, we need to stand up for the truth. Don't let political correctness or the fear of man keep you from speaking the truth. You don't have to do that because this is the powerful word of God. And he did what he did. He told us how he did it. And if we somehow, well, you know, we have to take some of this over here. Some say, well, no scientists. That's not true, by the way. There are a lot of scientists who believe in creation and who believe in the 6 days of creation. That's a lie that say that no scientists believe that. That's wrong. That's not true. That's just not true. God's not against science. That's finding truth. That's what science really is. It's seeking truth, finding the truth. What's being put forth as science is not science at all. It's another religion, really. They're believing something by faith, right? And I don't want to go too far down that road, but evolution, there's no proof for it. There's no intermediary forms, something halfway between a bird and a person or an ape and a person. There has nothing ever been found like that. The things that they've claimed to have found are, they found the missing link. It's some bone like about that big. It's like, wow. So I can prove my religion by something that small? I mean, are you going to buy that for, you know what I'm getting at? This little thing, and it's all the things that they said that they were put forth as something like that has always been a hoax. God is true. And this idea of believing that he is the creator, how do we drift so far in our nation from this idea of God being who the big thing is now, separation of church and state, we can't pray, we can't do any of this stuff. And we're looking at the fruit of this experiment of the last 50-some years, I don't know, time's going by, and we're seeing people, young people, shoot up people and kill people. We're thinking, shouldn't we go, maybe we've done a mistake somewhere down the line. I mean, we're maybe reaping what we've sown along the way. Maybe we should stop having these smut novels having the kids reading in high school and maybe getting back to the Bible. Amen. Maybe there'll be something different. Amen. Well, I mean, we'll reap what we sow. I don't have a lot of hope for that. I mean, they told me about how the meeting went. Mark was telling me about how the meeting went. What meeting, right? There was a school meeting. There's a local school system is putting these, I call them smut books. That's putting it mildly, okay? It's pornographic, really. It's novels type stuff where they just explaining, writing pornography out, just writing it out, okay? And it's required reading for high school. And so they went to the meeting, and one of the things that Mark was saying, that he was amazed by this. He got up and he was just talking about most of the people there were for it. Person after person got up and spoke up. The kids were, you know, they wanted it in there. You know, the children got up and like, what does a 17-year-old know about what they, when are they starting to make the rules about what they're reading and stuff like that, you know? But that's what we're getting. But what was interesting was he saw the opposition to it, which amazed him. And then he said that in his talk, he mentioned the Bible or the Word of God somehow. And he said when he did that, the moment he did that, he heard the whole crowd go, oh, like a moan in the whole crowd. And I thought, wow, I hadn't thought, but it makes sense, right? It makes sense, the moan in the whole crowd. When you mention the Word of God, it's like, and then one of them said, it's like, book, you're trying to ban books. That's what they were saying about these novels. You're trying to ban books. Well, what about banning of this book, the good book? Isn't that what they're doing? Doesn't make sense. Something's wrong here. And one of the persons pointed out, I think very well done. They said, well, look, rape was talked about in this book. And they're saying, now, if our students actually practice the things that you're wanting them to read, they would be put out of school. The activities that are going on here, you know, that are being portrayed here, if they lived these out, that wouldn't be good. You know, think about that. I think that was good reasoning, right? But it didn't penetrate. You know, this is the problem. There's a blindness on. That's what we talked about Saturday with the men. There's this blindness going on that they can't see. Now, so fear God and give glory to Him. And so God's got the gospel going out. And then the warnings come in verse 8. He says, and another angel followed saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. That's exactly what was experienced at that meeting, by the way. This idea that Babylon is the system that's being set up by Satan himself, okay? It's the system that the spirit of Antichrist is already here, even though John talked about that in his letters. Even though the Antichrist, he hasn't risen up, but the spirit of Antichrist is here. That's what you experience at that meeting. The hate for God. You mentioned the Bible. Ugh! Yeah. And I'm not saying that people understood that. They knew what they were involved. That's where they are. The hatred for God's word. This will be the next thing, mark my words, that they come after, because they're going to realize our behaviors come from this book. Amen. This is the thing you're going to try and get. I'm not talking about just taking it out of the public square. I'm talking about eliminating it. You think taking your guns is going to be a problem? They're going to want to take your Bibles. Believe me, that's going to happen eventually, because there's more power in here than can be imagined. So, but the system that they were believing in, that they were holding on to, is going to crumble. We're talking about things yet future. This idea of Babylon, the things that people hold high and dear, the power of man, it's all going to fall. It could be a literal great city where everybody goes, but all these things that are anti-Christ are going to be embraced as wonderful in this city. But the reminder here is it's fallen. It would have fallen. And because this makes everyone to drink of the wine of the wrath of our fornication. You know, we use the term, oh, they drank the Kool-Aid. We know what that means, right? That's kind of a negative thing. But they drank the stuff, and that's what we're seeing. The people are drinking of it. They're partaking of it, and this is what is happening as a result. And they don't see the connection between the way people are behaving now. And not everybody's behaving that way, but that's the way people are starting to behave because of the way that they're being trained. But God is reminding them that what they're holding on to is fallen. And then he says, and then the third angel followed them, verse 9, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast, talking about in the last chapter, and his image, and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. He's talking about the end or the payoff for those that follow the beast. Remember, he was empowered by Satan. And though, you know, this is time yet future, anyone who doesn't follow God is in that camp. And there's going to be an end to that. There's going to be a payoff for that someday. Verse 10 tells about that. And fire and brimstone. I mean, it's interesting to me. Oh, he's one of those fire and brimstone, you know, pastors or preachers, you know. And I don't know what that sounds like. Maybe that's all they talk about is hell. But I think we need to talk about it more these days and less. If you look around what's going on in the world, you don't hear a lot about that. I mean, even in churches, everybody's all willing to talk about heaven. And I think we should spend a lot of time talking about heaven. But the reality is there is an alternative place too. That's true. And the devil would want you not to talk about that. Let's not bring that up, all right? That turns people off. Well, apparently God thinks it's important enough for these angels to be reminding them of what's coming. It would be the loving thing to do, wouldn't it, if there were such a place that God would warn people about that? And verse 11 says, and the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night. That doesn't sound good. There's torment and there's no rest there and it doesn't end. I don't even like to sit there and think through it. I've thought of my relatives in the past that I didn't know about them, where they were with the Lord. And for some reason, I started thinking about them knowing, and I just couldn't go there in my mind anymore. I had to stop. I can't think that. I can't go there. We all maybe have relatives that have passed and maybe they have that thought, and we don't like to go there. Here's the truth of the matter. We don't know what happened in there. We really don't know, and that's a blessing, I think. We really don't know for sure. in their last moments that they didn't receive Christ, you know? You've told them, and if you haven't, you need to. But you've told them about the Lord, and then the hope is in those last moments, those seeds will bear fruit in those last moments, but we don't know specifically about each person. But here's what we do know, that there is a place where there's going to be torment forever and ever, and there's no rest night or day, and those who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. He's talking about, verse 12 is talking about perseverance. Time needs to go by. You know, we're here. We are here and we're waiting. You know, just like that song, you know, great are you, Lord. We're waiting. We have to wait for God's return. We have to wait for when that stuff happens. But I've got to tell you that this is our call right here in this verses 6 through 13 is to be reminded of the call that we have. That we are all preachers of the gospel. And these things in here, go through this and meditate on this. These things are true. These things are going to happen someday. But I want you to see what it says in verse 13, last verse. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. Listen, we're not in heaven yet. We figured that out, right? We're not in hell. Some people say, well, this is hell. No, buddy, if you think this is hell, you have seen nothing yet and you've been duped by the enemy, because this is not hell. We're not in the tribulation period or anything like that. We know that as we go through the word, but we are laboring in the gospel right now. We're in the church age. We have the truth. We have the good news. We have the gospel message. It's that sets us free. Let me tell you something. You know, we don't do altar calls here all the time. Very often, you know, I give the message out. We've had 2 people 2 weeks ago come to Christ. 1, I think, last week. The point is, people are coming to Christ. People are responding to the gospel. Hopefully, you've seen it in your own life. I just had a man tell me that he led his daughter to the Lord last week. And he's a new Christian. He hadn't been a Christian a year yet. Yeah, so, I mean, isn't that the heart for all of us? We want our families and everything, but it's labor. We're in labor right now. We're laboring. You know, yes, there's a rest that can be found in Christ, but what we're doing is very much a laboring. But I want you to know something about this. With the enemy, that's the thing about him, there is no peace and rest. For those that are following Satan, there's no peace and rest in their souls. There isn't. For Christians, they can have peace in this life. That's attractive to people, the peace that surpasses understanding. That's what the gospel is for, to lead them to Christ. So they're watching you. So as you're laboring, you can have peace. But I want you to see what it says here about the end for Christians. He says that they may rest from their labors. That's when our rest is going to happen, when we're with the Lord face to face, all right? So if you're thinking you're going to rest on this side, give up on that thought, all right? We're not on easy street anymore, all right? We're on that path, that narrow path. But he says, at the end, he says that they may rest from their labors. That's when it's going to happen, when we're with the Lord. And their works follow them. Now, you've heard it said, right? You can't take it with you. Yeah, I've never seen a hearse driving down the road with a U-Haul on the back of it, right? Somebody's taking their goods with them, right? Material things, right? But your works will follow you. You are going to be rewarded for the works that you did in Christ. That's what it says here. Their labors were over and their works followed them. So if you can do the picture, you're in the hearse one day, there's a spiritual U-Haul behind you with your works and they're following it. You know, and someday you're going to stand before the Lord and you're going to be acknowledged as the 144,000 were, right? The first 6 verses. They were acknowledged, their works. And now God will get the glory in that day, because we'll get to see, I think, in that time, how much God was involved in the process, how he kept us, How he brought things to bear in our lives to get us to go the way he wanted us to go. How he put pressure on us without violating our free will. But yet he, you know what I'm saying? We're, wow, ooh, you know, we're going to see the greatness of God in ways that we can't even imagine. But know this, that your works are going to follow you. We're laboring now, right? Works. We're laboring in the Lord. But even as the 144,000, what did it say about them? They followed Jesus. That's what was said about them. They followed him wherever he goes. Are you willing to do that? Because that's the call in your life. Are you willing to follow him wherever he goes? Remember, he's going to always give you the grace to do that. And this is what I mean by grace. It's the power of God. That means when you're at a meeting and you're going in there and you went to a meeting and you think that you're going there for a good cause, and it is a good cause, and you're maybe expecting other people are going to see it your way maybe. Surely if you lay this thing out logically, people are with a right mind are going to agree with you, right? It makes sense. And then you get there and you're thinking, what happened? I'm in a foreign land. Yeah, that's exactly right. But I'm going to tell you something. You will experience the grace of God in a way that you just don't normally do that. I can guarantee you. That's what's going to happen. That's what he gives to his saints. That's what he gave to Stephen when he's being stoned. Isaiah, sawn in two. You know, that's you got to have the power of God at that point. You know, all the martyrs that were burned at the stake. And they're sitting there, as they're being burned at the stake, read Fox's Book of Martyrs. They're saying loving things to the people that are burning them at the stake. Praying for them, for the persecutors. How in the world is that? I mean, God, the grace of God happening. So he's going to give us everything we need. But are you willing to follow him wherever he goes? There's work to be done in this life. You have a call in your life, a specific call in your life. And he's going to be faithful. And this is an encouragement to us today to be faithful to him, to the call that he has on your life. Now, if you're not a Christian here this morning, that's where it begins. You've been living life on your own. You can't live his call on your own. You must have the power of God in your life. When you receive Christ, I gave you the gospel, the good news. And then the response is, do you want Christ to be your Savior? What you're doing is not just praying a prayer. It's not just about a prayer. It's about a new life. It's about deciding. You got to make a decision and say, I'm not doing things the way that I used to do them. I'm now going to do them God's way. You don't know God's way yet, but he's going to show you. You just need to be willing to do that. And you're signing up for that. You're going to die to the old ways of doing things, and now there's going to be a new way of doing things. It's a new song he's going to give you. It's all new. He's going to do it all, but you have to make that decision.
Thanks so much for joining us here on Anchored in the Word. It's such a blessing to bring you this sound Bible teaching every day. It's our prayer that Anchored in the Word is being used by God to further the growth and discipleship you're already experiencing at your church. Perhaps you're listening today and you don't have a home church. The messages you hear from Pastor Bill here on Anchored in the Word are produced from worship services at Calvary Chapel Coastlands. So, if today's message has blessed you and you don't have a home church, please join us for worship. For more information, log on to anchoredintheword.com and follow the link to the church website. We encourage you to join us next time as Pastor Bill continues teaching verse by verse through the book of Revelation. To learn more about Anchored in the Word, Pastor Bill, or Calvary Chapel Coastlands, log on to www.anchoredintheword.com. There you'll find helpful tools that you can use as you study God's Word. Again, our web address is anchoredintheword.com. Social media is such a big part of our lives these days. We encourage you to visit our Facebook page and become our Facebook friend. Log on to anchoredintheword.com and follow the link to our Facebook page. Or you can always give us a call. Our phone number here at Anchored in the Word is 732-544-2225. That's 732-544-2225. And don't forget to place a marker in your Bibles and join us again as Pastor Bill continues teaching through the book of Revelation.